So I made myself not look at Daryl's lyrics until I was pretty sure I was mostly done with mine, just because of sort of the power of suggestion. It was really interesting to see some of the things that we picked up on. I, too, was trying to figure out this thing of how somebody would dare to come on the boat of, like, a lifelong fisherman and say, okay, you worked hard all night, but I know better, and give it a try. What would that have felt like? So it was interesting to see that thread. I also noticed the rhyme that you did with shore and lore, and I just, because on the working document, my Word document, I had sometimes just a list of things that rhyme, because, you know, I'm trying to work with, and shore is such a prevalent word in this text, and so lore was one of the words that I had there that didn't work out in a rhyme. But it also, when you're trying to write something like this, it made me think about the process of writing of so much of the literature in the scriptures, too, and wondering sometimes, what do we end up having as these really important metaphors in our faith simply because there were rhymes in Hebrew, or rhymes in Greek, or rhymes in Aramaic, you know? So it's kind of interesting just thinking from the point of view of, you know, some of the writers of those scriptures and, you know, did they, you know, were they sitting there with a list of rhymes at one point and trying to figure out, you know, what went with love, and here we are, you know, 2,000 years later, you know, building our lives around that detail. So for me, the preacher has by far the longest I wrote the song in the last 2 or 3 days, but I had been sitting with the scripture for longer than this because I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do with this. I had assumed for most of the last couple weeks that I'd just be writing a sermon. So I'd just been digging into all the commentaries on Luke. And one of the things that happens usually for me with a song and a sermon is when I think I'm done, I go back and sometimes a third to a half of it gets cut. Just because you end up following so many trails. And so you're seeing a song that really didn't get edited down at all. You're kind of seeing a lot of the different trails. So a final product of this song would probably not be as long as this is, but you get to kind of see a little bit more of that. And you can tell that I got really involved in the details in the research on this passage about why were they fishing at night and, you know, all those things like that. Or a really interesting commentary about storms on the Sea of Galilee and how it's not actually a very deep body of water. So even the deep of the Sea of Galilee compared to many bodies of water isn't that deep. You know, and it's surrounded by these tall hills and mountains where the Sermon on the Mount would have been. And, you know, the cool air from the mountains could whip down over that water, and it was really easy for a storm to come up quickly because the water is shallow. You know, it's like all this fascinating stuff, and, like, yeah, the preacher couldn't let it go. So there's a lot of detail in here. And one of the things that was interesting is I thought I knew a chorus for this song, and then it never quite fit. And so it kind of came to the end of the song, and it's really just Simon's story. And I never even got to what I always grew up as the crux of the tale, which is this twist at the end of Jesus saying, okay, you know, you're a fisher of fish, now you're a fisher of people. So this is really just me exploring Simon's thinking. So, and like Daryl, when a song is new, like, I might stumble over some of these lines. And also, I've heard so much music this morning, like, I hope I can even remember my own melody. So, we'll see. Yeah. Yeah, and I even worked out a little guitar, but yeah, this is good for me to get out a new song like this, much less to do my remedial guitar playing, so. Okay, Simon's song. When my mother warned me shallow waters can't absorb a storm, I thought she meant the sea. I thought she meant the Galilee. Where the cool winds from the mountains ringing round the sun-warm sea can sweep down upon the waters, stirring up the boats on the Galilee. But she meant me. The storm was me. And my father warned me, swapping night for day would catch the run, would bring the sardines and the binies, would hide the nets from the glint of the tattletale sun. But the price to pay for the clear of the lake is the nights you're not at home, the nights she'll sleep without you, the days you'll warm the bed alone. But he said, go, you gotta go anyway, 'cause as the fish go, so must you. When the man with the fever-quelling hands came along the shore, I was scrubbing seaweed off the deck, cursing phantom fish that never showed. Boats that came home empty don't have much to clear away, but you clean them full or empty, you clean your nets anyway. And then you go home, even if you go empty. And then you go home, yes, you go home. When he asked me to set sail again, there was a debt I owed him. He'd worked a healing wonder on the mother of my wife. So I stowed the nets and rowed my yes. With tired arms I rowed him. When he spoke to the crowd on the shoreline, skipping stories across the Galilee, and he spoke hope, and he spoke hope, and he spoke riddles, and they ate up the hope, they drank the riddles. And afterward he asked me to put out into the deep and to lower my nets down again, down into the sea. Good carpenter, this fisherman just spent the night right here. Not a fish was in this water. Sometimes they just disappear. And gotta work the whole night right here. Yes, I work the whole night right here. But bless your heart, since you say so, I'll cast my nets and line against my better judgment, against the test of time. Well, the daylight got us fish all right. The daylight almost drowned us. We would have perished with our jackpot had a second boat not found us. And I did not believe. I was unexpected, still my nets were full. When my mother warned me shallow waters can't absorb a storm, I thought she meant the sea. I thought she meant the Galilee. So that's my song. Yeah. That is interesting, seeing a song for like its third time ever in front of like 150 people. so sort of like Daryl said, songwriting is is different than sermon writing in some ways. You take the story that comes to you and the voice that comes to you, and you follow that. And there were things about this passage that I thought, like I said, were going to be the chorus, and the song didn't go there. But I will say the thing that I've been sitting with this scripture in the last week or two has been this idea of what if God is the voice within, what, or the voice of Jesus, the voice that says to you, you think you're done, and try again. Throw those lines out again. And Simon never got there to that in the song, and I don't know what that means one way or another. But in some ways, I feel like this exercise of the songwriting was also throwing the net down there into the deep and trusting that there's something in those nets. So anyhow, we offer you these songs. This is our scripture exploration of the last couple of days, and for however they might be helpful for you all as you look at this scripture. And I just invite you to, whatever is your form of play, whatever is your form of creativity, to use that sometimes with scripture. If you're kind of trying to figure out what your entry point is with this book, what your entry point is to a certain story, climb in there and ask some questions about someone's voice, someone's point of view, and just follow it. I remember there's a Billy Collins poem about how to read a poem, and he talks about dropping a mouse into a poem, sort of like a maze, and just watching where it'll go. So song is one way to get into a scripture. And so you got to see where the mouse that we dropped explore this passage of Luke. And love to hear what your explorations are and how art helps you interact with scripture too. So thank you. Amen.